a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Because remember, they've gone away from the town. He's gone out into the wilderness to get away, and the people followed him. "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in his mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, Have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Of course, this doesn't count the women and children who would have been with them. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is a prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing what they intended, that they intended to come and make him a king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. This is the word of our Lord. Jesus had been performing the miracles. Jesus healed thousands of people. People came from all over, bringing with them those who were sick, those who had been unable to be healed by the physicians, those who were poor and could not afford a physician. They all came to him. And Jesus had mercy on them. And he touched them and he blessed them and they were healed. The lame walked. The leper's skin was cleaned. The people who had lungs that would not work properly were restored in breath. The people who were dizzy were given the ability to stand upright. The people who could not see were given sight. Jesus healed them. And then, as if that wasn't enough, when they came and followed him around to see more healings and to have more people healed, Jesus broke bread and fed thousands and thousands of people out of a few small loaves of bread. What was their response? What was their response? Was their response is, "Jesus, I will follow you anywhere you go"? Was their response to give God praise, to tell God, "God, thank you, God. You have done such miracles before us. You have brought this Savior to us. You have brought this one to heal us and to bring us your grace"? No. They wanted to make Jesus a king. Now, to you, that might seem, to some, that might seem a great thing to do. It may seem a perfectly appropriate thing when you have somebody who has the power of God at their hand, who has the power of God in them, who has clearly been sent by God to say, well, then that should be our king. Because the Bible tells us to look to Jesus as king, to make him king of our lives. So what's wrong with these people wanting Jesus to be, make him their king? What is wrong for you and I to look at Jesus and to want to place him on a pedestal and have him be the king? Who is this Jesus? What was wrong with wanting him to be king? Why did he go and head to a solitary place to get away from these people who would make him king? These are the Jewish people. These are the people who are a proud people. These are a people who understand that they are not like other people in the world. They are the chosen ones. They are God's chosen ones. They are the people that God ordained from the time of Abraham to be his people. God has watched over them and nourished them. He delivered them. He delivered them out of starvation into Egypt. But he didn't just take them out of starvation and into Egypt. He prepared it by having Joseph sold into slavery, so that when they arrived in Egypt, there would be plenty of food, because he gave Joseph the vision. Helped Joseph understand the vision of the Pharaoh. And this person whose brothers had sold him into slavery was now a ruler in Egypt and prepared for his people, to provide for them, to care for them. And Joseph's family stayed in Egypt for 400 years and grew from the 70 that came to over a million people. And God then called on Moses to deliver his people out of Egypt in the great Exodus. But God didn't just deliver his people out of Egypt because the Pharaoh would not release them. And so God directed Moses to tell the Pharaoh of the many plagues that would come to his people, and Moses did. And the plagues came over the people, the locusts and the frogs and the ailments, and still the Pharaoh would not release God's people. So Moses goes to the Pharaoh and says that if you don't release those people, every firstborn will be slain by angels of God. They will die. Every firstborn child, every firstborn animal will die if you do not release these people. And God provided for his people. These people knew that they were special because Moses was able to tell the people to slaughter a lamb and spread the blood over the doors. Top of their doors, over the sill of their door, and so that the angels of death would pass over God's people. And don't you recall that we said earlier in this reading that this was coming near the time of Passover in this scripture. And the Passover is when the angels sent by God to slay the firstborn saw the blood sign on the door and passed over that house and allowed the firstborn of the Jewish people to live. They knew they were special people. God had chosen them. God delivered them and parted the water so that Moses could lead them out of Egypt, allowing the water only to come back when the Pharaoh's army pursued them. They knew they were special people. And now God has brought before them the Messiah, the son of David, the person in the lineage of David, not only through his father, but through his mother. Mary and Joseph's family went back to the house of David. And they wanted to make him king. Why they want to make him king? Who is this Jesus? They wanted to make him king because these chosen people of God were now subject to Roman rule. These people that God has chosen, that God gave this land to around the Jordan, were under the rule of the Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire, being conquered by the Roman Empire, was not like being conquered by the Babylonians, was not being like being conquered by Genghis Khan, was not being like being conquered by other conquerors of that day, because the Roman Empire understood economics. They understood people better than most. Instead of coming in and destroying the economy, burning and pillaging the homes and towns, they simply conquered their armies and took them over and demanded that they pay them taxes. They kept the commerce going. The people of Israel could continue with their worship. That was fine with the Romans. They could continue to worship the one God. Romans thought it was silly, but go ahead and do it. They could run their businesses. They could farm their land, but they had to pay a heavy tax to Caesar. And this angered the Jews. This was while some places that the Romans overtook flourished. Some countries that the Romans overtook became stronger than ever because the rule and the law and the order and the system that the Romans had established gave them something they had never had before. They had security and they had certainty. And this was good for many of the peoples in the world that the Romans took over. That's why that they only needed 100 soldiers located every so often to maintain this rule. And they allowed the people to live. But this wasn't okay with the Jewish people. These were people who were chosen by God and they knew it. And now they want to make Jesus king. So what's wrong with that? You're told to make Jesus king of your life. So what was wrong with them wanting to make Jesus king? They wanted to make Jesus king so that Jesus could do what they wanted to do, which is free them from Roman rule. They wanted to make Jesus king so that they could be the dominant people. They wanted to make Jesus king so that he could liberate them and help them to be the leaders and conquer the world in the name of God, conquer the world. Well, maybe in the name of God, but maybe just in the name of the Jewish people. The problem with them wanting to make Jesus king was they wanted him to be not king of their lives, but he wanted him to serve them as king. They didn't want to put themselves in service of God. They wanted to put God in service of the Jewish people. Is that so different from me and you? Is that so different from the way that you and I worship God? Is that so different from what we ask God to do? From what we expect God to do? Is that the kind of relationship that we have with our Lord? We worship Him to do what we want Him to do. We worship Him to forgive us of a sin that we continue to keep on doing. We worship Him to provide for us without us providing for others. Who is this Jesus? Jesus is King. Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. But this is God's plan, not your plan, not my plan. And the mistake that the people made was they loved Jesus as long as he did miracles, as long as he fed them, as long as he provided for them. But they didn't love Jesus when he asked them to give their lives to him. And they didn't ask Jesus, they didn't love Jesus when he told them that they must turn around, they must repent, they must change their ways. No. It may or may not have been some of these same people on their way to Passover in Jerusalem. But it wasn't very long before these people were calling, crucify him, because he would not be the king that they wanted. He wouldn't be the king that delivered them from the Romans. He wanted to be the king of their lives. He wanted to be the king of their personal beliefs, their personal experience, their personal relationship with him. So we have to ask ourselves, who is king of my life? How is it that I look at this King Jesus? How is it that I want the Messiah to be? Jesus Christ came not to fulfill the wishes of men, but to fulfill the plan of God. Jesus Christ came not to turn things back so they can be the way they used to be before our lives were conquered, whether by Romans or by life. Jesus Christ came to change us. Jesus could not come to be changed. God doesn't change for us. God changes us. They want to make Jesus king so that he can do what they want him to do. How do you want the king to be in your life? Are you ready to submit completely to the king? Are you ready to be the faithful servant? Are you ready to be the person who is willing to give their life for the king? Are you ready to be a member of the kingdom of God in the way that the king wants us to be? This is the king who is demanding. It is his way or the highway. There is no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. He is the king. But he's also the peace. He's also the love. He's also our only hope. Let us spend time this week thinking about this King Jesus. Let us spend time thinking about the place that his kingdom has in our lives. Are we asking God to change for us, or are we asking God to change us for him? Amen.